The last wedding I went to was Lisa Lanier's, who's on the phone a couple of months ago. Lisa, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I love that idea about basically having your wedding sponsored by vendors.
Oh, I thought you were the official attorney. You didn't draw up the prenups?
Yeah, they're going to need those.
Donated a prenup.
You should have donated a prenup. Get your name right there on the program.
That's funny.
You really should have. Your wedding... your wedding was so great. You know, tonight, it's like, what are we wearing? Your wedding, as you know, the invitation went out and it said...
It had instructions.
Black and white attire.
It was a theme.
It was black and white. So my wife wore, in her dress...
The NBC logo.
Orange, purple, green, yellow, violet, lavender. All of it, except black or white. In fact, Chris Kelly called her the peacock.
Yeah, she didn't read that fine print where the control freak told everybody what to wear to her wedding.
That's right. She only read the fine print when we were about 10 minutes from the ceremony and began crying profusely. And I said, well, I'll just go in. You wait in the car.
That's right. This won't take long.
I'll crack the window.
I'll just have one.
I am not a dog. That's what she said to me. Oh, Lisa, let's talk about the law here for a minute. We had just heard this story yesterday. I thought this was pretty interesting. There is a character actor named Frank Severo, and he was in the movie Goodfellas. I forget the character's name
that
he
played.
He's
Frankie Carbone.
Frankie Carbone. He's the guy, if you haven't seen Goodfellas, at one point he's in the back of a meat truck, and it's not a good scene for him.
It's the best scene, though.
I agree.
Do you know the backstory on this?
No.
If you look at the movie Godfather, the actor Severo, mm-hmm. Plays an extra in the scene where Jimmy Caan is beating the hell out of his brother-in-law.
Oh, is that right?
And apparently Scorsese loves the movie The Godfather, saw the guy, said, I need this guy. Mm-hmm. I want him in my movie Goodfellas. So he was just an extra in The Godfather.
Really?
And then he had a decent role in.
Yeah, he did. Goodfellas. He was in it pretty much. He's got
a distinctive kind of perm looked hair.
He does. He's got a real gangster look to him.
Yeah.
Well, he's suing the television show The Simpsons because he's saying they used that character Frankie Carbone that he played in Goodfellas as the model for their own mob character, Louie. Here's a conversation between Louie and another mobster on The Simpsons. Louie is the first and last one, or the first one to speak here.
You sure you didn't order those fiduciary-related wax?
The important thing is we have severely cut costs by reducing the number of our guns to one. And I have it. Any further questions?
Can I have the gun?
No.
So he says, can I have the gun? The other guy's Joe Mantegna. He's suing The Simpsons for $250 million.
Hello.
This character.
They got it.
This character has been in 16 episodes since 1991. The last was this past April. The characters do look very similar. He looks like.
He kind of does look like that curly-haired guy from Goodfellas.
Now, Lisa, is he going to win, and is he going to get $250 million?
No, he's not going to get $250 million, and it's really borderline. It's very questionable whether he would win or not. And part of it is that what he's claiming is that they have ripped off a fictional character. He's not really claiming so much that it's his likeness. I don't hear him saying that it's too much, you know, it looks too much like me. It's my individual likeness, but it's a fictional character that he portrayed. And so that creates a big gray area about who actually owns the rights to a fictional character, and it's typically the creator, which would be the creator of Goodfellas. And they usually, as a matter of contract, they usually retain the rights to these characters, and their rights would be superior to his. So it would actually be, the proper party would probably be the creator of Goodfellas if they wanted to go after The Simpsons, not this guy.
Okay.
That's good information.
He was saying that the character in The Simpsons uses his mannerisms, his tone in speaking, all of that kind of thing, but you don't think he wins at all.
I mean, it's definitely a gray area. It's a close call. I think that what may end up happening is they might end up settling out of court with him just because of the expense of the, and because it is sort of a borderline type mm-hmm. of a case. He doesn't have a slam dunk case, but there's this gray area about who owns the rights. If he does own the rights to the character, which on occasion does happen, and particularly with like the backstory that Chris Dem just told, you know, maybe they may have given this guy the rights to his character because they kind of saw him in another movie and thought, you know, right. I can borrow kind of your character. And if that's the case, he has a little bit stronger position. But still, it's not $250 million. And The Simpsons may be able to make the argument that this is a parody. And if this is a parody of his character, then that's a very solid defense.
Oh, yeah, we do that all the time.
I'm sure. Plus, he sounds more like Joe Pesci.
He does.
Goodfellas. He looks like Carbone.
When I heard it, I thought he sounds a lot like Joe Pesci.
You sure you didn't order those fiduciary-related wax?
I mean, that's very Pesci-esque. Just like Pesci. Isn't that Pesci-esque? I thought so, too. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. Okay, Lisa, so it looks like he may be out of luck. We moved to Dover, Delaware, where a man named Andrew Walls, 32 years old, was not pleased or amused when he filed a civil lawsuit in the Superior Court there because he got a colonoscopy, something that one member of the show has been through, our own Christopher Dim. And when he woke up...
May he rest.
Whatever happened to him?
When he woke up,
he took it up.
He was wearing pink, frilly ladies' underpants.
Which he did not wear to the center.
No, he wore his own boxer shorts to the center. Well, he worked at the Delaware Surgery Center, so his friends were basically playing a practical joke on him, but he's very upset by it. So he has filed a suit, and he wants money over this. He says there's been some... You know, there's been some suffering here, some pain and suffering, because he woke up like this, couldn't find his underpants. The center, I believe, is now closed. Lisa, what chance does he have here?
You know, I think this guy really lacks any sense of humor. This sounded really, really funny to me. And these were his friends and his coworkers. And what's the real harm? I mean, what is so traumatic about him waking up wearing pink women's underwear?
I agree.
I just don't see anybody being sympathetic about that. I mean, I think it's clearly something that medical professionals are not supposed to do, but you can see it from maybe a medical board type of a position. If he complained to the medical board, I could see that they would reprimand these people, give them a warning letter or something. But good Lord, not to sue them for money. I mean, it seems crazy to me.
I totally agree,
Lisa. Let me ask you this, to me, I'm more on the guy's side because I've gone through the process that this guy did.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
Would it be different if he didn't know the people and didn't work there?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would. I think it would be. It would be a greater violation. I still don't see where the great damage is. I mean, you know, I don't see the harm personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing with if you're going to sue somebody for infliction of emotional distress, you have to have some damages, some harm that was caused by it. And I just don't see that piece of it. Even for a stranger, it would be hard for me to imagine the harm, but I think a stranger would have a lot better chance of having a jury feel sympathetic.
If you get a jury of people my age and older who've had the colonoscopies, they might be more sympathetic only because of this. You know, when you're blacked out, you're trusting other people to move you and put your pants on and take you to the fart room and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's totally out of your control.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like, what else did they do?
Well, that's a good question. What else did they do?
You know, did they take pictures of me?
They might have. The panties were silk. They were great quality. I'll say that.
It's immaterial.
On behalf of
immaterial.
For the defense, the panties were silk. They're wonderful quality.
Can't imagine there's not a picture of them.
Well, because it's a friendly thing, it's a joke, I just don't see it being a big deal. I think the guy just lacks sense of humor. He's sort of a douchey guy, and now he's...
Objection! Lisa.
All right, I agree with you. Chris Dim, though, has been through the procedure.
Well, Chris Dim, I've had a colonoscopy.
Oh, you have?
If I woke up, you know, and some friends had played a little joke on me, I just don't think I would be. I think it would be funny. Yeah. I just don't.
But
you're right, if it were me or you, we're just a random patient and somebody does something, then you might feel violated and really question.
Yeah.
They give you some drugs that put you on another planet when they do that to you.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. I don't even remember the fart chamber.
No. Speaking of that, haunted houses in the news.
Ooh.
That's a scary part of one. A woman has sued. She's near Chicago. We mentioned her yesterday. Her name is Regina Genito. She and her 17-year-old daughter and three of the daughter's friends went to a haunted house there. At one of the haunted clowns, one of the scary clowns, Robert Keller, works at the haunted house, started attacking these women in the parking lot with some sex toys. He was trying to scare them, and he had some vibrating sex toys, which he was waving in the air. An odd thing to have there at the haunted house. They got back in the car and left, and now she's suing the haunted house for negligence and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The guy was actually arrested, charged with disorderly conduct, and fired. She wants $50,000 from the haunted house. Lisa, what are your thoughts on this? Can she win?
Yeah, I think she'll win some damages there. I mean, this guy, it's nutty. What is the association between Halloween and dildos?
Haunted dildo. I don't understand that either.
They're spooky to some.
That's crazy. That's crazy, isn't it?
It's extremely crazy. Yeah, I think this was just, you know, it was a situation where these employees were obviously allowed to just go overboard, and I think that the haunted house is going to be held responsible for the actions. I mean, there were kids, lots of kids coming in and out of there. These were minors that were assaulted with the dildos. It's just, yeah, it's absurd.
It was wrong. I'm thinking of taking my kid to one of these really scary haunted houses tomorrow night. He's 9. What are you thinking?
I think he's too young. If you're like, I mean, I've gone to Spooky Woods, and there's no way. I don't think I would take a kid there till someplace that scary till they're like maybe 13, 14 years old. Or
something. Oh, really? Because that's the one. That's the one I was going to go
to. Your attorney has advised you.
Ooh.
Oh, yep. It's crazy scary. It really is. It's crazy scary. I mean, Tony's a great guy. I know him. He does such a great job that, I mean, it scares grown-ups half to death.
Wow.
There was a story last night, Lisa. I don't know if you watched the Deborah Norville show, Inside Edition, but telling Kelly about it. And they did a story. It was in the tease. It's like, you know, Bristol Palin this, such and such. And then they did this part of the tease that made me sit up and take notice.
Then, can you be scared to death in a Halloween haunted house?
They put a hood over me. I couldn't see where I was going.
Wait till you hear what happened to this pretty teen.
My daughter passed out. I don't know if she had a seizure.
That would hook you in.
I think she did die, but I think she had a heart condition going in.
Whoa.
And a lot of these places now say, the gist of the story is, a lot of them say, do not come in if you have a heart condition.
I guess.
And, you know, one of the attractions I saw, they had a camera. Somebody had a GoPro walking through one of these haunted houses. I don't even know where this was. But one of the halls was, you're in a New York City subway car, and Bernie Getz walks up to you and puts a gun in your face. A gun in your face!
Well, first of all, that's too violent. And second, it's lost on younger audiences. They don't know who Bernie Getz is.
Yeah,
totally.
But
I couldn't believe it.
Now, let me ask you this, Lisa. Speaking of the law, if a girl goes into one of these haunted houses knowing she has a heart condition and dies, does the family have a lawsuit here?
Yeah, it depends on the jurisdiction. But in jurisdictions like, say, North Carolina, where you have contributory negligence, then no. I think especially if they warn, you know, do not come in here if you have a heart condition. Especially if she had full knowledge of it, then in states like North Carolina where she would have a contributory negligence issue to face, then she wouldn't prevail. Some states would be comparative, and she might, you know, the family might recover a portion of what her life was worth. But, you know, that I think, speaking of Spooky Woods, I think they do have kind of like a junior
version. Do they?
Yeah, I think you can go, like, there's a junior, there used to be anyway, because I took my kids 1 year to play at, like, the little junior corn maze, and there's like a lighter version you can do.
Maybe that's, I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that, because I told him last night.
How about just the meadow of uncomfortability.
Yeah, something like that, instead of the haunted hayride.
Yeah.
I told him last night, I'm in. Let's do it.
The meadow of uncomfortability. Son, this is what it's like to live in a ranch-style house. Dad!
That's crabgrass over there.
No!
That's what your lawn looks like without a gardener.
This family has one car. What?
And no garage. That's where we're going, Lisa.
When it rains, it all runs downhill to this yard.
You have to wake up in the winter and scrape your windshield.
Where's the pine straw? There is no pine straw here, son.
The driveway of doom. They don't even have a cover.
Lisa, wonderful to talk to you. Thank you very much.